Get your Bibles out this morning. There we go. We ought to be excited to go to the Word of God. And go into the book of Ephesians, if you would, chapter 4. I want to start a message today that I'm pretty sure I won't finish. I don't know how it's all going to turn out, so we'll just get started today and see what happens. Before we go to the Word, let's just pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you for the Word of God. Because, Lord, it's your Word that can set us free. It's your Word that can change our lives. It's your Word that gives us life. And so I pray today, Father, that no matter what I say, no matter how it comes out of my lips, that it'll be your words. It ain't going to be my words. It's going to be words of power, words of much assurance, words anointed from heaven to go into the people's hearts today and where every person is in life. Lord, that they will hear what they need to hear today. That you'll speak to them and touch their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to start here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." Now, depending on what translation you're reading this morning, that word futility might be changed, might be said vanity of their minds. But the word, when you look it up in the Greek, the word that's closest to English that would best describe it is either futility or vanity. So either way, your Bible's translated is right. And if you go to the dictionary and you look up the word in the English dictionary, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that you can tell me what it means, what the word is in the Greek, but just because I know what the English word is, that don't mean I really know what it is. Y'all with me? Did any of y'all use English words and then after a while you found out that they really didn't mean what you thought they meant? Have y'all ever had that experience? I've said some stupid things like that before, and then I'm like, you know, do I even really know what that word means? And to go look it up in a dictionary and find out, it didn't quite mean what I thought it meant. Y'all with me? So I was looking at the word, and basically, to the best of the definition could be, it is of no useful purpose. All right? He said, the Gentiles have a way of thinking that has no useful purpose to it. Now, you got to understand, in the day of Jesus, in the day of Paul, when he was writing this to the church at Ephesus, the church of Ephesus is over in Turkey. If you've been in the Sunday school class, you'd have learned about that. We've been talking about those seven churches out of the book of Revelation. But anyway, any person who was not Jewish was considered a Gentile. Okay? And when all Jews had looked as Gentiles and even had called them, their terminology were dogs. Okay? And so they looked down on them that they were a people who did not know God, did not have God in their life, did not understand, never could have had the covenants and promises that Israel had as a Jewish nation. But the craziness about that thinking is that as a Jewish nation, they had lost their rights and privileges and covenants because they weren't keeping the covenants and promises anyways, Jews. So it was like the Jewish people really had Paul is talking to him and he says, look, you guys don't understand. Even your thoughts are of no good purpose because you're thinking religiously, not from the heart. Are y'all following me here? So let's read on here just a little bit more. He says, now think about this. He says, let's read it once again, verse 17. I say also, therefore, testifying in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Or the of no purpose of their mind. They're having thoughts that are, it's not going to get anywhere. They're of no purpose. Having their understanding darkened. Now, how did their understanding get darkened? Being alienated from the life of God. How did they get alienated from the life of God? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So Paul's saying that the people, because of the purpose of the way that they thought, because of their thinking, that it caused them to be walk in darkness, it caused them to be alienated from the very life of God. Now, following me here. Their thinking did. Not God. God didn't say, I can't talk to you. You're a Gentile. I can't talk to you. He didn't separate them by race or color or creed. God said, the only reason why you're separate is that you separated yourself from me with your crazy thinking. I'm paraphrasing. Y'all with me? He said, it's your own thoughts, your own ways, your own mannerisms that are causing your understanding to be darkened, alienated from the life of God, and blindness to come into your heart. So then does it matter what you think? Absolutely. The thought process that goes on in your mind every day, it matters what you think. It matters what you dwell on. It matters what you have for visions and daydreams. Does anybody here, y'all ever had any daydreams? Y'all? Or is it just me? Am I just the dreamer? Y'all have some daydreams? And how many of you know that you can have good daydreams or bad daydreams? Are y'all right? Come on. Let's don't act like we don't do this. Y'all all sit real still. That doesn't mean that I really don't know what's going on. I'm trying to get y'all to participate in this thing. Okay? You have a daydream. You can dream of, you know, like say, let's say you went somewhere on vacation that was beautiful and you just saw this and you just loved it and you sit there and daydream and you think, oh man, it was so great when we were there. And man, you can feel the breeze. And, you know, oh yeah. I do that on my Harley. Oh, we were there. Oh yeah, that's great. Get the fan, put it in front of my face. Ah, oh, yeah. And then you can have bad thoughts. You can have bad daydreams where you're saying, I tell you what, man, if they do that, then I'm going to do this. And they did that. And I'm going to come over here and I want to get that. Of course, I know you saintly, holy people don't have thoughts like that. But what the scripture's saying there is what you're dwelling upon and what you're thinking about in your mind is either going to bring you closer to God or alienate you from God. Y'all hearing that? I mean, really think about this. Listen, you're in control. Not God. God said, like, got up that morning and had an appointment and you couldn't get in. Well, I tried this morning to get in, but, you know, he was busy. I was in a hotel. Here this last week and ignorant country boy like me, I got in the elevator and was going up to the fifth floor where our room was and pushed the elevator button and I noticed it didn't light up, but I didn't think anything. Oh, that thing broke, you know. Sat there for a minute. Thought, is this thing moving? You know, and the door opened up. I was still on the first floor and somebody else came in. I'm like, huh. And I'm just standing there, so I'm thinking, well, how do you do this? So that person reaches over and pushes a button and we just stand there. And the minute the doors open up and I'm still in the lobby. There's this crazy thing. Then the next person gets in and takes their room key and sticks it through the slot and then that made the little green light come on. Then they push the button and then they start, I was like, oh. I'd have been there still all day just standing in the elevator and going nowhere. Just on the first floor, all the whole time. I'm in the elevator trying to get in my room. Next person comes in, you know. And so it's like I got to laughing thinking about it. Here I was ignorant of how to make the elevator work. And all I had, the whole time I had the key in my hand. But I didn't know how to make it work. I couldn't get to where I wanted to go, even though I had all the tools that I needed to get there. But I couldn't get there because I didn't know that I had to stick it in the slot. Well, what I'm telling y'all this morning is there's a slot in your brain. You got to stick the key of the Word of God if you're going to go anywhere with Him. And you're in control, not God. He's not waiting. He's not off on a trip or a vacation. And you can't get an appointment. It's in your hand. The key is in your hand. You got to stick it in the slot. And it says that your mind, your thinking, your dreams, your whatever's going through your head is either separating you from God or drawing you closer to God. He said, well, I need God to deliver me from the way I'm thinking. Well, that could, you might could need some prayer over that. You might could need some help, some coaching on something like that. But ultimately, it's up to you. Ultimately, it's up to you to renew your mind to what God's word says. Now, I'm so much the smarter that after I went through, I learned quick. I may not know everything, but I learned pretty quick. The next time I got in the elevator, a guy got in there, and I'd already pushed my key and put the, you know, I pushed, put it in there and pushed the button, and mine was lit up, and then he went to push his, and it wouldn't light. So I said, let me help you, sir. And he's like, oh, a key. It's like, yeah. That's why I'm here in life, to help all of you ignorant people that don't know how to use the elevators. See, you don't have to, you know, there's no sense acting like you didn't know how to do it. Just act like you do. Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm telling you, man, I have found there's a slot there. Put it in there. Whee! Oh, green light will come on. You just go right to the floor you need to go to. So let's read on. He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So what happens, the process is that as you're thinking in your mind, you begin to get to speaking it out of your mouth and talking about it and dreaming about it. And then your heart gets darkened. And your heart, according to Proverbs 4:23, says that's where all the issues of life come from. It's interesting because you may think, and I don't know how this morning, it's not like I can go to a doctor and have it cut out of you and bring it and show you, you know. But there's a link between your thinking, but even though you're thinking it, that's not really the decision-making part. It's your heart. And your heart's not really that pumping muscle. It's that part of you that's all tied up in your soul, that's your will and your emotions and all that's tied up in your soul. That's really going to be the decision-maker. And when that thing gets darkened and that thing gets hardened and that thing gets calloused because of the thinking you've got, well, then the decisions you're going to start to make are going to be wrong. You're going to make one more bad decision on top of the other bad decision because this heart's gotten darkened. Again, I'm not talking about the pumper. I'm talking about this soulish part of you down here. And you're going to start making the same mistakes over because you've alienated yourself from the life of God. And you say, God, I don't know where you are. I'm not hearing your voice. Where are you, Lord? You've left me. God never left. It's your thinking that started alienating you from him. Have you ever been around a person who maybe just cusses really bad? And you get around that person and just starts going and just starts finding, and in a minute you're just kind of like, man, you just kind of want to separate yourself from that. Well, the same way we are with our negative thinking, our negative talk, and no faith, no vision, no seeing what God's principles are in life, God doesn't start pulling himself and separating away. It's that because of the way we're thinking, he is so good, so awesome, so miraculous that we can't stand to be by him and we have to start moving away. Are you hearing me? He didn't move, you moved. He didn't leave, you left. He didn't alienate himself, you alienated your own self through your thinking. So he goes on. And he says, because of the blindness of your heart, verse 19, who being past feeling, see, then all of a sudden you're so callous, so hard, you're not having any feeling, any emotion about anything anymore because your thinking's gone wrong. Having given themselves over to lewdness. Now, the word that's, if you were reading the King James, it would say lasciviousness, which means, well, let me read the rest of it. It says, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness and greediness are kind of close to the same words. They mean you just want more and more. And the biggest problem that's wrong with America today is Americans, we keep wanting more and more and more and more and more and more. And when we get more and more, then it's not satisfied with that more. We need more. And we keep going for more and more and more and more and more. And then you get more and then you got to have more. But the whole time, all they're trying to do is satisfy this hole in their heart, this place within their life that can't get enough. It's like you just keep going to the salt lick until your tongue is raw and you just keep thinking it's salt you need, and it may be something else. Hello? I was in Guatemala this past week, and I had to go do some business down there, some other parts of Guatemala were investigating and looking at, and I went to this village, and it just my heart just soared, because it's been a long time since I've been to a village this poor. The whole village, they told me, was they don't know how long it's been there, but at least they think the town was started in around 800 A.D. And there was a salt dome there. And so they came, the Mayans, it wasn't even before the Mayans, they came in and they dug salt in this area and they stayed there. And so we went into the village. That's been there since 800. Not 1800, 800. Okay? And I just had to laugh. They've been there since 800 and their houses were still the old original thatch roofed houses with the palm leaves and just wood on the sides of beams with... You could shoot a BB gun through both sides of it. I mean, you know, cracks in the boards that big and just total and complete absolute poverty. And I was just looking at the people there and all the way they were living, just dirt floors in their houses and everything, and just looking at all. And I stopped for a moment. I had to ask myself the question, you know, what do they need? Because after a while, you get to where you're looking at people and you're thinking, you know, they don't necessarily need a house with air conditioning and a cement floor and all that kind of stuff like that. You know, they need medical attention. They need to know Jesus. And so we went a little farther there, and there was a Catholic church there. And so I said, well, you know, got something here. But then right beside it was the Mayan statue. So I'm thinking, well, they're probably not getting the whole gospel. My point is that sometimes we think that more is going to satisfy us, but more doesn't satisfy us. What satisfies us is life. Hear me, church. What satisfies each and every human being on this earth is life. And the only true life is not the life of, there's nothing wrong with skiing down a ski slope and having fun and doing that. That's nothing wrong with that. But that's not life. Life is that creator that could breathe into each a piece of clay, and it became a living soul that could take a dirt. Let's get it real down to basics here. Could take dirt and make you out of it. Are you hearing me? You have some musician you really like, and you go to a concert, and you hear them, and it brings joy to you, and you're like, yeah, that was great. That's not life, though. That's not the life that they're talking about here in the Bible. We're talking about getting so close to the Creator that He infuses you with life, that you're generated and your cellular structure begins to come into attention because the one that created you is near you. Too deep. Why in the world would a person want to go to church just to hear me preach and leave and say, well, that was kind of entertaining. At least it wasn't as boring as some other church. But if you didn't get touched by the life of God, if something didn't infuse you, something didn't touch you, something didn't move you, something you didn't read jump out to you and bring life into you, you didn't get infused with the right infusion. Hello? I'm talking about the God of all the world that is everywhere in every place. It's just waiting to be with you, to be with them, to be with whoever, but they're alienated because their thinking has taken them away from that God. I'm talking life, the Zoe kind of life. The Bible says it's Zoe. It means it's the life that can only come from God Almighty. It's the life of God that puts our lives straight. It's the life of God that heals us. It's the life of God that puts our marriages together. It's the life of God that puts our children on the right track. It's the life of God that gives us the reason to get up the next day and live. Hello? Verse 20, but you've not learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The problem has been for so long with Christianity is Christianity set about the way a person should be, based upon what they thought good was. So, a good Christian doesn't do this, 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 or this. So if you can stop doing this, 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 or this, well, then you're a good Christian. But you could stop doing this, this, and this because you're a disciplined person and be headed to hell. Hello. Hi, all of you good people out there. Am I telling the truth? You could quit drinking, dancing, and cussing, which I think are the four cardinal sins in the Protestant church. Am I preaching truth? I mean, if you can quit drinking, dancing, and cussing, the four cardinal sins, or the three cardinal sins of the Protestant church, then you're a good Christian. Am I just messing with your heads this morning? Am I just jacking y'all up, just pulling you from left to right? But you can quit doing the drinking, the dancing, and cussing and still be headed to hell. You can go to church every Sunday and be headed to hell. Because it's not about church attendance. It's not about what you can quit doing and discipline yourself to do. It's about, do you know Jesus? Do you know this life of God? Has he come into you, touched your life, and washed your sins away? And has he cleansed your heart and cleansed your soul? And do you, has he touched you in a way that you want to serve him? Because he touched you. Not because you cleaned your act up. And Paul says, look, you've got to renew your mind and the spirit of your mind. You've got to put off the old man, yeah. But you put off the old man because you've renewed your mind. I always remember a minister who was a Methodist minister who was here in town for a while, and he was always telling me about the part of Germany that they were, and the church was completely split. One side of Germany, they believed that smoking was okay. And then the other side of Germany, they believed that drinking was okay. But the smokers didn't believe the drinkers were okay, and the drinkers didn't believe the smokers were okay. So whenever they try to have a church conference and the church conference would be together, they had to split them up because the smokers were over here because they wouldn't sit with the drinkers because they were such sinners, and the drinkers wouldn't sit with the smokers because they were such sinners. But they were all in church at a church conference, smoking half and drinking half. Does that make any sense? I can't understand it in my relationship with Jesus. But I'm just saying, we can get crazy in our thinking. And that kind of thinking, if you're arguing with them over there, saying, well, those people are a bunch of sinners. Well, they're drinking. That bunch is looking over here and saying, that bunch of sinners over there are smoking. Well, that thinking has alienated them from the life of God. And that's the point I'm trying to make today. I'm not trying to argue what's right or what's wrong. I'm just trying to say we should not have thinking that alienates us against the life of God. We have to renew our minds. We have to figure out what does God want us to think. Now, let me just show you a couple of things here. You might hold your finger at that place. Go to Isaiah 55. Verse 8. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. So the first thing we got to understand is that if you want to know how does God think, well, he doesn't think like us. So you giving God your 2 cents, you might as well keep it in your pocket. Because he's not thinking like you're thinking. There's no sense praying and saying, now, Lord, you know, if I was you, this is what I'd do. You say, well, Pastor, we don't do that. Well, sure you do. Anytime you go to God in prayer trying to get him to do what you want him to do, that's what you're telling him. Anytime you go to God in prayer and you've got it all worked out in your mind, okay, now, Lord, you know, I want you to touch little Johnny and make him right, get him straight. And I don't know why he's doing what he's doing, and you need to get him straight. You need to, Lord, and this, you know, this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And then just for me to know that this is true today when I'm going to work, can you have an alligator run across the road? Just so I can know. I mean, it's not that I want a sign. I know you're going to do what I ask you to do, but just help me confirm a little more. Come on, God. Alligator across the road. And then I will know truly that this is you and that I am following your will. Hello? So the first thing you got to understand is God's not even thinking. He's not even in the realm of thinking like you. Okay? So you ought to keep your two cents and learn to maybe approach God differently to figure out what he want, you know, how he might want to talk to you. Now, let's just look at a person who did go to God, like I just said. Go to the book of Job, chapter 38. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to make a phone call real quick. Just 1 second. I'd look a little more professional if I wouldn't have brought my phone up here, but that's okay, y'all know. Emma, good. Did I tell you where to go? Job 38. In Job 38, this is when, if you've ever read the book of Job, he's arguing with God, basically telling him that how he has done nothing wrong to deserve anything to happen to him. And through that all, he's got his friends telling him that he must have done something wrong, and Job's insisting that he's not done anything wrong, and basically Job is self-righteous. Okay? So God finally shows up. He's had enough, and God speaks in chapter 38. And the reason why I have my phone here is because I have a Bible translation. I have a Message Bible in here. And I wanted to read this to you because I was reading it in this, and it's just hilarious. It says, "And now finally God answered Job from the eye of the violent storm, and he says, why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers." This is coming from the Message translation. That's why I like this. "Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much." Is anybody else in here reading a Message Bible this morning? I love this. This is the greatest thing in the world. "Who decided on its size? Certainly you know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? How was its foundations poured? And who set the cornerstones? While the morning star sang in the choir and the angels shouted praise. And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds. I tucked it safely in at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so that it couldn't even run loose. And said, stay here, this is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And have you ever ordered morning, get up, or told dawn, get to work? As I read through that is read 38 through 42 in that Message translation, I was laughing at thinking I could see it like that. It's just the greatest translation. God sitting there saying, have you ever told morning to get up? Who are you to tell me what's going on? Or have you ever said, get it, to, you know, to tell it to the dawn to get to work? Is that amazing? Folks, listen, sometimes we get it so messed up and we're thinking our thoughts are like God's thoughts. I'm telling you, we're not even close. We are not in the same game or the same league with Him. You with me? Not even in the same league. The point is, if you have even said this week that you feel like you're not so close to God, I'm telling you, what's alienating you from Him is your thoughts. It's what you're thinking. You're believing a lie. You're listening to a lie. You're hearing the dreams in your head have got you off, and you're not hearing God. And if you want to hear Him, you want to be close to Him, stop and think about what God might be thinking about your situation. Stop and think about, okay, now, Lord, how are you going to handle this? Years ago, trying to do good, and I'm not saying it wasn't good, but trying to do good for God, I took a lot of mission trips, and I went a lot of miles in Mexico, and I gave out lots of beans, I gave out lots of rice, and I gave out lots of clothes. And then I found out that we were producing rice Christians. Everybody was a Christian on the day we were passing out beans and rice. And everybody showed up because they wanted the beans and the rice. Then I found out that the clothes we were given, they weren't ever putting them on and wearing them. They were taking them down to the next town and sell them because they'd get more money out of that. So they'd sell the clothes and make money out of that. And so all my good works of what I was thinking was going to be good, was going to be a good project, was not really doing anything to bring them closer to Jesus other than look at the stupid American that's giving me all this stuff. Out of it, though, there was a few people whose hearts were touched and people were blessed and things happened and they met God. No way, but I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that didn't get blessed because their mind alienated them from the life of God. Would I still give out food today? Absolutely. We do it all the time. We do it every week. We're feeding people all over this world. We've got kitchens for children over in Kenya that are feeding 600 kids a day. We're paying for it. We've got, you know, feeding programs besides just the orphanage in Guatemala, but yeah, we're doing it because we've got to keep them alive until we can get them to know Jesus. We've got to have medical clinics because we've got to keep them alive until they can get to know Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, you got to change the way of thinking. And it can only start with us. Just because something happened that was wrong to you doesn't mean you have to keep dwelling upon it and trying to figure out why it happened, where it happened, dissecting this thing into so many pieces. Sometimes it's just better to say, oh, well, I don't know what happened there. I am blessed with this gift of just kind of bumbling through life. I've got visions and dreams, but man, I've just learned in life, I don't understand, well, why that happened. I don't know. Let's just go on. Let's keep going on down the road. I don't know what else to do. Because I see all these people in life that stop to dissect in their walk with God, you know, and they're just stopped. They're not going anywhere. They're just dissecting the problems that have happened in life and why did this happen or this and that and the other, and they're not venturing and moving on. And I'm like, well, okay, if I get hit enough times, I will eventually figure out when I need a duck. But I'm still moving forward. And I'm certainly not going backwards. The world has nothing out there that I want. Except maybe some open road. But God already made all that for us to enjoy. You know, God already made all that for us to enjoy. It's our thinking, church. It's our thinking. When Job met God and God showed up, he said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're not even with me. Listen, would you trust me? Now flip back over. I want to finish up here in Ephesians. I'm not finished. I'm just getting started. Actually, this is the giant introductory to my message. He said, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, from verse 25 through chapter 5 of verse 5 of chapter 5, Paul lays out the things that happen to you when you have alienated yourself from the life of God and your hearts begin to get hard. Let's just read it, and then I'll go back. He says, if you want to get away from what you may be doing, and see if any of these things kind of hit you when I'm speaking, then you know you're being alienated. He says, therefore, putting away lying, each one of you speak truth as his neighbor, if we are all members of one another. They say, well, Pastor, I don't lie. Oh, it may not be of your nature if somebody comes in and says, well, how much did you pay for that? And you know you paid $20 for it, and you tell them $10. I may not be that kind of lying, but if you look at it from God's perspective, lying would be you saying anything out of your mouth that doesn't line up with his word. Oh, that's not going to work. This is going to be bad. I know it. I can feel it. When God said you're more than a conqueror and that you can overcome all things and that greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world, you just lied. You just let non-truth go out of your mouth. I've prayed it like this. I've been like Mary before. You know, Mary, when Gabriel came to her and said, you're going to have a child and you're going to name him Jesus, but it's not going to be from a man, it's going to be from the Holy Ghost. She didn't say, oh, yeah, right. She said, okay, but how can this be? It was beyond her thinking. But she didn't doubt that what Gabriel was telling her was the truth. There's a difference there. Zacharias, when the angel came to him and said, you're going to have a son, his name's going to be John, he said, yeah, get out, man, you know my wife. Go read, it's what it said. Y'all didn't get that? You got to read the right translation, but that's what it said. And the angel said, you know what? I can tell we're going to have problems with you. I'm going to strike you mute, and you ain't going to say nothing because you're going to mess this whole thing up. And John ain't never going to come into the world if you're going to keep talking like you're talking. So you're struck as a mute right now. Can you imagine if those things happened to us today? Come to church, say, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, you said something you shouldn't have this week. Mm-hmm. You want prayer? Okay, what's in the service? We'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always thought that it would be funny if it still had animal sacrifices because, you know, according to what you send this week is what you'd have to bring to church. So we could just sit back and watch. Oh, he just got a turtle dove. Oh, wouldn't be bad this week. He did pretty good, huh? See somebody out back. Hey, back it up. Come on, back it up. Got the gooseneck 30-foot trailer loaded down with red heifers, you know. Bad week this week, Pastor. Got a whole herd out here for you. Oh, I don't know what you did. So if we were like them and struck mute, you'd know. You're not speaking truth. All I'm saying is that we got to watch what we say, lie. No, I don't lie, but you better watch it. If something's coming out of your mouth that's not truth, it's going to start affecting your mind, and you're going to start thinking it, and it's going to start alienating you from the life of God. This tongue, this thing hanging out of your mouth will simply separate you from God. He didn't move. He couldn't stand it because you're ugly and talking bad. You separated yourself because you weren't comfortable. Hello. Okay, I see y'all can't take any more, so we're not going to go anymore. Because the next one down there, verse 26, says be angry. So we don't want to talk about anger. Are y'all following me in this message? You see where we're going? I don't want you alienated from the life of God. I don't want to be alienated. I want God involved in every part of my life. I know, though, that I even have some thinking that's not straight. I know it. I had a guy act really ugly to me this week. Really ugly. And the very first thought came to my mind was not, God bless him, he just doesn't know what he's doing. Just help him to know you, Jesus. I admit it, it was not my first thought. My first thought falls in next week's message. I didn't say anything, but I had a little daydream went off in my head of throwing him completely out of a 10-story building window, you know? And then later, why did that make me so mad, Lord? I mean, you know, he's just an idiot, but why did that get me? Why did it stir me? Why did it boil my blood? What was going on in the thing that he said that made me so mad? Because I don't really know. I just got mad. See, there's things in all of us, church. You can't go and say, oh, I have been renewed in the spirit of my mind, Pastor. I have arrived. If you ever arrive, you're going to be dead because the only time you're going to get there is heaven. So I know you're lying or about to die. So all of us go through it. So I want to know what's the key to this thing. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to keep going on. We're going to take these things one at a time. We're going to go through it for the next week. We're going to figure out how to get that key put in that slot and get you to where you need to be. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would.